Romans chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading verse number 16 this morning, and I'm going to read down to verse number 25. Chapter number 1, verses 16 to 25. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege this morning to open the Word of God. We need your guidance. We need your help. Spirit of God, we need you to move in our midst, or it's of no value. Lord, we pray that your Word might go forth with power. We pray that you might anoint these things in the hearts and lives of people. And Lord, that we might, as we leave here, might say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We might leave here with intent to live closer to you. We might live, certainly as it talks about here, the just living by faith. Work, we pray, in these moments. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We find here in Romans chapter 1 a powerful indictment against mankind. And this indictment is right on target. It shows to us the downward trend of man when he leaves God out. It tells us that when they knew him, they didn't give him the glory. Notice verse number 21, and very simply, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And it's interesting, neither were thankful. And because that says, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. I believe that is one of the key verses here along with verse number 25. And so we find that all of this shows us an unappreciative heart because they would not give God the glory. The godless course leads to all sorts of, and I'll use this word, idiotic thinking. The spoiled snowflakes of our age have come out of their safe places and are now demanding chaos out of minds that have ceased to think. Isn't that true? And so notice verse number 21, once again, that latter part in verse, the latter part of it says, became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. What they believe is really, they think it's academic or academics, that they're really smarter, but they're really filled with fools. Rather than God, they turn to their worship of nature. Notice verse 23. It says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things." And so we find today that nature is being worshipped. These verses are up to date. And so we find people have twisted God's word regarding the subduing of earth, the subduing of nature, as a reproach upon their God. They forget that everything they use to live is something that has been made to subdue the world. Listen, the toothbrush you use, it had to be made out of something in nature. The pencil you used to write on paper, both had to be made out of something, and there had to be a subduing of the earth. And yet they say it should all return to the natural. And they say that as they fly their jets and drive in their automobiles. I say they're hypocrites. But because they have no God to turn to for life's instruction, we find something else takes place, and that is they turn to man in general. And what has taken place is government has become their God. Now I find this tremendously interesting. The protesters in Seattle have looked inwardly and not wanting any accountability have now tried to establish their own government. They who were against borders have set up borders. They who were against police have set up their own police force. They who thought they would live in all this marvelous luxury are having to steal in order to have any life at all. And so we find that man, they begin to look in other places than God. You know, in just a few years, we've come from black suppression to white guilt. How are we in this mess? How is it that we have this situation today? I think to understand, we must enter the thinking of the mob that we find terrorizing our cities today. How is it they have the mindset that they have? What has been put into their minds? What is it that's different now than when I was a kid and some of you were kids? Go with me to verse 23 and notice what it says again. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man. What have they done? They've changed God and have reversed the order from God to man to lower creatures. And now they look at creeping things and go to man. And so they say, it all has evolved. And this is what young people have been taught for the last 50 years as fact. And so we put man on a pinnacle, and it's his interpretation of the facts that are now presented as science. And it's interesting to me because science is the observation of phenomenon, and evolution has never been observed. What you have in chapter number one has never been observed as far as coming from the lower to the higher. All sciences, we need to understand this, all sciences are mingled with the so-called science of evolution that is presented in science. It's there. As a result of evolutionary thinking, God is left out of the equation along with his moral code. If we don't have God, then we don't have a Bible. We don't have Bible, we don't have the Ten Commandments. And now, of course, they want to tear those out of our government buildings. Listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Their minds have been blinded. Why? Because they don't want to put their minds on him. Wherein in time past, he wrote to the Ephesians, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And there's a lot of folks, they argue, and they say, well, it's no big deal that people believe that we came out of animals. It's no big deal that your grandma was an elephant. Well, we might want to change that. It's no big deal that, you know, your aunt was an ant that crawled on the ground. It doesn't matter. And so many believe that, hey, listen, that's okay to believe. But do we realize that it's not only reserved for biology and botany and chemistry and astronomy, but it's infected our history, as the common thought is that man began very primitive in caves and has progressed to rocket ships carrying men to Mars. And so what the Bible shows is a digression, and what the world wants to show is a progression. And yet if they were honest and looked at the streets of our cities today, they'd understand we have not progressed. Why is that? What's wrong with the mindset of these folks? They do not have a biblical-based mindset. And what they have been given is in direct opposition to biblical creation. And it's a downward path ever since. Do you realize you cannot teach evolution as a science class while teaching a moral code based on a Christian in a civics class? You can't do that. You see, it pervades everything. When we take God out of the equation, we think, well, it just affects science thought. No, it's every portion of our lives. Every bit of it. There's an old saying that what goes in is what comes out. Have you heard that? And what has gone into their minds, it is coming out. That's what's happening. They had been taught they were animals, and now they're acting like animals. And we need to understand that something has gone wrong. What has gone wrong? We have left God out of the equation. Seven times in this book of Romans, it said that everyone knows there is a God, but we find they rebel against the idea because that would make them accountable to Him. And people do not want to be accountable to God. Man wants to be free to do as he pleases and have it all work out okay. It doesn't work that way. But because of societal pressure, we find that parents have abandoned their God-given responsibility to raise up a child for the glory of God. And what they get is shame from their awful performance. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." What's happened? We've abandoned our responsibility as a nation. Do you realize not too long ago, a judge in Louisiana ruled that abstinence could not be taught in the public schools? And his reasoning was this: because such teaching, after studying all the other religions of the world, after looking at all the different things that are involved with that, he says, the only one who teaches that is Christianity, and if we approve of that, then we're approving of teaching Christianity in our schools. And he's a judge. So now we have floating around LGBTQIJK materials that are taught in kindergarten. And I have found, as I've watched the news, some parents who seem to be excited their child is identified as a sexual pervert. If they're male and they think they're a female, that's perversion. By the way, have you noticed the coronavirus has only got two sexes? If you're concerned about it, you can go on to the iowatest.com, I believe it is, and you fill out some online paperwork, and you'll come to a spot that says male or female. You got to answer one or the other. What we find? We find as we read this chapter that the slide is always downward when God and His Word are shelved. You may not know this, but there are many accredited Christian universities today that are teaching evolution as fact. Do you know why they do that? Because they say, well, we can still teach the Bible, we can still preach hard in the pulpit, and we can overcome that little bit. And the reason is because if they don't, they lose their federal funding, their accreditation. Remember a few years ago when Obama said America is no longer a Christian nation? Many Christians were angry and they scoffed at him. Though it came through the lips of a shadow Muslim, he was right. We have become a pagan nation. We've allowed nature and government to be our God. Even as Christians, we believe the answer lies in government. I like good government, I'll fight for it, but at the same time, that is not what's going to save America. We're like the Pharisees oftentimes. Jesus said, "This people draw nigh to me with their words and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." There is a need today, and it's a need to come back to the God of our fathers. It's a need to come back unto Him, a need for what we sometimes call revival. But brethren, I'm going to tell you where that must begin at. It must begin with us. Peter wrote this, and how timely the words. He says, "The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" If it doesn't happen here, what's going to happen out there? We see what's happening out there because we have not made judgment in here. And we're losing this nation. But God's not through yet. If we repent, we turn to Him. We ask God to open our own hearts up and show us what's wrong in our lives. And ask Him to create within us a clean heart. What will that do? I believe much. You see, we are the light of the world. Do you know that? We're the salt of the earth. And if that light is tarnished, if that salt is full of dirt and debris, it does not have the effect that it ought to have. And so God cleanses, that our light would so shine that men and women might see there indeed is a God that's much bigger than what they've been looking at. They want answers. They want help. And they're turning to everything except God because they've never really heard about Him. All they've heard is, "I'm an animal. And so therefore my answer must be in nature." And as we come together as a group of animals, that's government. And so as a group, we must be able to look at each other and somehow find the answer. The answer is not in either one. It's in the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's it. Where does it begin at? With us. It's you and me. Let's pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come, we must come really with confession on our lips that we have been so hoodwinked by the thoughts and the ideas and ideals of this world. Lord, help us to see clearly and marvelously Your glory. We might see that You're the pinnacle of all. That we might recognize that we're more than just a dog that has no morals and doesn't care. Lord God, pray just work in our hearts. Right here in this room with these, us. Lord God, You move. And You be glorified through that. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.